Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
We're in the fourth and the final week of the sermon series, Upside Down. You and I are called and commissioned. No, we're commanded to turn our world upside down. It's a mandate for every single Christian, and no one is exempt. We're commanded to proclaim the gospel. Church, we're called to be a witness and to bear witness of the gospel. Many Christians in today's culture look at witnessing as an old school practice that can just be done away with, but that's not so. In fact, if we do away with the practice of witnessing, we do away with the practice of Christianity. Jesus left the church with his final words on earth in Mark 16:15, and it's known as the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. It's the Great Commission. Many of you have heard it. Can I see your hands if you've heard? Many of you know it. You have it memorized. But it's not a matter of knowing it, church. It's a matter of doing it. When we stand before Jesus on that glorious day, and just so you can truly grasp this, I want everyone to stand to their feet. And just picture you're standing before the Lamb that was slain, the Word that became flesh. You're standing before the Savior. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. But he's not going to say, church, did you know what I said? He's not going to say, did you read what I said? He's not even going to say, did you hear what I said? No, he's going to say, did you do what I said? And you can't answer maybe or little bit. It's either yes or no. Yes, Jesus, or not so much, Jesus. Did you do what I said? In Matthew 25:21, Jesus said, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus said, well heard? Come on. Wouldn't it be good if Jesus just said, well read, Christian? No, he's going to say, well done. To those who done. Right? What he asked? Well done, my good and faithful servant. When Jesus called the first disciples, he gave them the simplest instruction to their highest calling. He said, Peter and Andrew, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. See, no matter what you're called to do in this life, whether you're called to be a pastor, a missionary, a writer, a computer programmer, a nurse, cop, parent, factory worker, waitress, teacher, or student, if you're not in some way leading people to Christ, you're not doing the most important work in which you're called to do. Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. See, this isn't an old school practice. This is an ongoing, never-ending practice of the gospel. We're to take it to the ends of the earth. We're to preach it. We're to live it. We're to share it every day. And Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. So you get a line and I'll get a pole and we'll go fishing, baby. Just some of my southern roots coming out. You can be seated. Paraphrased, go and turn your world, your city, your schools, teenagers, your workplaces, your neighborhoods, or for you gangsters, your hoods, upside down. See, turning our city upside down is about restoring our city. It's about impacting and investing in the lives of the people of our city, schools, and hoods. This series is based on Acts 17:6. which says these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. When you and I walk into a room, it needs to be said, those people, there they are. Those people who are turning the world upside down have come here also. Look out. Here they come. This man, Jeremy, who's turning the world upside down has come here also. This girl, Katie, who's turning the world upside down has walked into the room. Look out. Let it be said of Crossroads Church, those people who are turning the world upside down have come here also. I want to start in Acts chapter 4, verse 1. The priests and the captains of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they seized Peter and John. And because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so that the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there. And so were Cephas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. And they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, by what power or what name did you do this? The title of today's sermon is by what power? Everyone say, by what power? Let us pray. Father, we come before you as our God and our Savior. God, we ask that you would anoint this word. You would anoint this time, God, as we break the bread of life together. We pray that you would multiply it, God, and that you would feed every soul in this place. And God, that as a body, we can walk out with buckets to feed our neighbors and our friends, our co-workers, our classmates. And we would go into all the world. Father, I pray that right now you would open every ear, every heart, every mind to receive your word. In your mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. So I want you to get a picture of this. Annas, the high priest, said to Peter and John, by what power are you doing this? Today I want to talk about the power by which we do what we do. I want to talk about the power by which we do this, the power by which I preach, the power by which you live, the power by which we receive and believe, the power by which we speak the word of God, the power. By what power do you do this? So Peter and John were standing before the high priest and all the rulers. It would be like you and I standing before a judge and a jury. And they're asked the question that they should be asked. It's a question that you and I need to be prepared to answer every day of our lives. By what power or by what name are you doing what you're doing, Christian? Come on, let it hit home. You call yourself a believer. You call yourself a Christian. By what power are you operating in daily? By the power that's provided from the Holy Spirit, or is it my own? By what power are you doing this? See, the world's going to ask us this question. Unbelievers are going to ask you this question. People that don't know Christ are going to ask you who you believe in. By what power are you able to overcome that addiction you overcame 2 years ago, Angie? By what power were you able to walk away from that? By what power was your marriage restored? By what power was your body healed? By what power are you able to serve daily, when it seems like your circumstances are so difficult and so hard? It seems like you've lost everything. You've lost your job, but by what power are you able to overcome and keep going day after day? By what power were you able to lose or able to keep walking when you lost a loved one? Your son when he was 2 years old. By what power were you able to overcome? Although we might not ever stand before a judge and a jury or on trial, like Peter and John did, we do have to bear witness of Christ daily. There's nothing worse than being in class and being asked a question when you don't know the answer to that question. How many are with me? Or like when I ask my kids, why did you do that, son? IDK, dad. Come on, you know they say that. I don't know, dad. See, we have to know why we're doing what we're doing. I said, you have to know why you're doing what you're doing. Not just because. Not because everyone else is doing it, teenagers. You know where that will lead you. Not because you don't have anything else to do. No, you have to have a deep down conviction of why you're doing what you're doing. You have to have a reason to follow Christ, or you won't have a reason not to follow Christ. You have to have a reason. But here's what we as Christians who've grown up in the land of the free tend to overlook. Peter and John were standing on trial not because of a crime they committed, but because of sharing their faith. Now, can you grasp that? They were standing before a judge and a jury because of sharing their faith. And I'm afraid to think about what the verdict might be if the Church of America were on trial for sharing their faith. I'm afraid to think about what the verdict might be if the church was on trial for sharing their faith. Would we be found guilty or not guilty? Would there be enough evidence to put us away? I'm not talking about circumstantial evidence. Well, they go to church, judge. They have a Bible on every coffee table. They went to a Christian concert once. They wear Christian t-shirts all the time. No, I'm talking about hard evidence, like video footage of you sharing your faith with others that would put you away for a long, long time. Would you be found guilty or not guilty? Come on, Christian. Would there be enough evidence to put you away for being a witness of Christ? So Annas, the high priest, said to Peter and John, by what power or by what name did you heal the lame beggar? Remember, we talked about that last week. By what power or by what name did you heal this lame beggar? Verse 8. The Bible says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. But before we go any further, let's go backwards. Let's go from Acts 4:8 to Acts 1:8. The Bible says, but you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And if you don't know what this really means, Jerusalem is where they lived. That was their city. That was their town. That was where they were. And then Judea is the surrounding city, like Omaha, on out, Glenwood. And then Samaria was like Missouri. And then to the ends of the earth. So where did they say to start? At home. At home. What do we receive from the Holy Spirit, church? Power. Why do we receive power from the Holy Spirit? To be witnesses. A witness is someone who testifies of the truth or on behalf of another person. Now, there's so much more to the Holy Spirit than that. Not only does He provide us with the power to be a witness, He provides us with the power to overcome. He provides us with the power to be Christ-like. He provides us with the power to stand up and fight and carry on every day of our life. He provides us with power every day. I can only do what I do because of the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. I'm only able to overcome that addiction because of the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm only able to be Christ-like because of the power of the Holy Spirit. You can only be successful and make it day after day by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't try to do this on your own. We need the power. But for the sake of time this morning, I'm not going to talk about all these powers. I'm just going to talk about this one power that he provides, the power to be his witness. The power to be his witness. This power means so much more than strength or ability. It signifies a power that's at work in us and through us. It's a power to communicate the gospel message. And the gospel message testifies of who? Come on. Of who? Of Jesus. The gospel testifies of Jesus Christ. And in Luke's gospel, Jesus told Peter to wait until he was clothed with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, clothed? It's like putting on clothes. Come on, y'all know how to do that. It's like putting on a shirt, putting on a jacket, putting on a suit, or better yet, putting on a uniform. Because there's power in a uniform. Right, ladies? What happens when you see a man in uniform? You perk up because you recognize that power. Guys, it's like putting on a superhero costume, and now I have all the men who are really just boys' attention. Because ladies, we've always dreamed of being a superhero. But this power or this superhero costume is so much more than just making us look super cool or giving us a superpower. It gives us a power to be his witness. So answering your question, Annas, your highest, by what power? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let me get to your second question. By what name? Verse 10. It's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed today. Now let's skip to verse 12. Salvation is found in no other name. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Point number one, we're empowered to proclaim his name. I said you're empowered by the Holy Spirit to proclaim his name. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit's power, proclaimed, "It's by the name of Jesus I do what I do, your highest." Church, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's by the name of Jesus Christ that we're able to do what we do as a church. Let's play a little game. I'm going to quote the first part of a song that most of you know, and you finish it for me. What can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? What can turn this city upside down? Or we could just say Jesus, because salvation is found in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Everything we do in ministry is because of the name of Jesus Christ. It's by the name of Jesus Christ. Every salvation, every baptism, every life being touched, impacted, and turned upside down is by the name of Jesus and no other name. It's not in the name of Peter. Peter didn't heal this guy. It's not in the name of John. John didn't heal this guy. It's not in the name of Isaac. It's not in the name of Joseph. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we're able to do what we do every single day. It's by his power and by his name. Philippians 2:9 says, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that he is Lord of all." Church, it's by the name of Jesus that we're going to be able to turn this city upside down. It's by the name of Jesus that the lost are found. It's by the name of Jesus that the broken are put back together, the bound are set free. It's by the name of Jesus that cancer has to bow its knee. It's by the name of Jesus that your body is healed. It's by the name of Jesus that your marriage will be restored. It's by the name of Jesus that you'll get that promotion on the job. It's by the name of Jesus that you're able to do what you're called to do every single day. In Luke 4:19, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me," or empowered me, "to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." Romans 10:13 says, everyone, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. But, and there's always a but, verse 14, and I'm going to call this the but of the gospel. Romans 10:14, the but of the gospel. You'll never forget that verse. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? Let's keep reading. And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? This is the NLT, by the way. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them about him? It seems like today, everyone has a butt. Not literally. Stay focused, church. It seems like we're always just throwing that little three-letter word out. Don't you hate it when you're in a conversation with someone and they throw that little three-letter word in the middle of a sentence? I love you, but. And you know where it's going from there. You know exactly what's about to happen. They're about to break up with you, but I'm breaking up with you. I would help you, but I can't. I'm too busy. See, we're using too many buts in Christianity. We're using too many buts in the church. I would proclaim the gospel, but I can't. I would come to church, but I don't feel like it. I would, but I don't feel called. I would, but I don't feel comfortable doing that. I would, but I don't have time. I would, but I don't like to do that. I would, but that's not for me, Pastor. See, God doesn't like big butts, and he cannot lie. And all the old people, you'll have to talk to someone at the service to get that, okay? They're like, what are they laughing about? This could only happen by the name of Jesus, but through Peter. Come on, grasp what I'm saying. This healing could only happen by the name of Jesus, but through Peter. Do you see where I'm going with this? This city will never be turned upside down by the Jesus in the sky. This city will never be turned upside down by the Jesus in this Bible. This city will only be turned upside down by the Jesus that works through you and I to impact and to reach and to minister to them. The good news will never be proclaimed unless you and I proclaim it. See, we're empowered to proclaim his name so that they don't have to carry the blame and walk in shame. Let me say that one more time. I said we're empowered to proclaim his name so that they out there don't have to carry the blame and walk in shame. By what power, church? I'm going to go back. By what power, church? The Holy Spirit. Thank you. One person was listening. By the power of the Holy Spirit, by what name? There we go. Thank you. Verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Just think about the symbolism there. They took note that these men had been with Jesus. The NLT translation says they recognized Peter and John as men who had been with Jesus. I want us to be recognized as a church who's been in the presence of Jesus. I want to be recognized as a preacher who's been with Jesus. I want you to be recognized as men and women who have been with Jesus. Point number two, courage is fear that has said its prayers. I said, courage is fear that has said its prayers. This is a quote from Dorothy Bernard, probably in the 1800s. Another great quote about courage comes from the great theologian John Wayne. He said, courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway. Fear is natural. It's not to be ignored. It's not to be ignited. We don't have to pretend we don't have fear. We all have fear just like we all have butts. Peter had fear and Peter had a butt. But the Bible says in this moment, Peter was full of courage. Where did his courage come from? From the Holy Spirit, of course. But I want to point out that Peter had courage in this moment because Peter had been in this moment before. This wasn't his first time saddling up. This wasn't Peter's first rodeo. This wasn't his first time standing on trial figuratively speaking. Because remember, the first three times he denied Jesus when Jesus was on trial. The first three times he pleaded not guilty of being a witness for Christ. Remember that? So he's probably the greatest example we can look at this morning. Because the first three times, Peter struck out. The Bible says three times that Peter was recognized as someone who had been with Jesus. Remember, first it was a little girl. And he denied it every single time. No way. I don't know the man. But not this time. I said, not this time. This time he didn't deny it, he owned it. Peter, full of courage, because he was full of what? The Holy Spirit. Sharing your faith can be scary. Can I get a witness? In fact, for some of us, it scares us to death. But we saddle up anyway. And the more you do something, the better you get at it. So the more you share your faith, the more you witness, the more natural it becomes. A witness is someone who gives firsthand account of something seen, heard, or experienced. Your witness isn't a script, it's your testimony. It's just you being you. It's you sharing your story. We witness to people because of what we have seen, heard, and experienced. See, it's not about being an expert witness. It's not about having a perfect script. It's not about memorizing this Bible from cover to cover. There's no power in that alone. If that's all it took, Jesus would have said, go into all the world and give them a Bible. But he didn't, did he? He said, go into the world and be my witness. Share your story with the world. Point number three, you're a witness for the gospel because you're a witness of the gospel. You're a witness for the gospel because you've been witnessed to by the gospel. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. The Bible says, but when they arrest you, and let me go back just for a moment to give you some background. Jesus is talking to Peter and the disciples here long before Peter was standing on trial in Acts. So this is when Jesus was on earth and he was with his disciples. He said, but when they arrest you, see, speaking in future tense, this is going to happen, Peter. You're going to stand on trial. You're going to be arrested one day. See, Jesus prepares us before the storm. For the storm. Do I need to say that one more time for some of you? See, you're walking through a storm so that God can prepare you for what's next, for the greater. He prepared Peter before it even happened. He told him to be ready. Look out. Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Holy Spirit speaking through you. See, Jesus said, don't worry about what to say, church, but that doesn't mean we don't have to worry about what to say. What? Jesus said, don't worry about what to say, but I'm telling you, we do have to worry about what to say. Because in verse 29, Peter prayed, Lord, enable us to speak your word with great boldness. And the Message Bible puts it this way, give us fearless confidence in preaching your message. Don't worry about what to say, but pray about what to say. And I'll be honest, I worry more a lot of times than I pray. So I need to worry less and pray more, right? But how many know I can't just show up on Sunday morning and say, I'm not going to worry about what to say because God's going to give me what to say when I stand on the stage. No. I come prepared knowing what I'm going to say. And I think you appreciate that much more than me just showing up and rambling on and on and on and on and on and on as we've all experienced before. Right? We have to know what to say. And we have to be ready to say it. See, preaching requires discipline. A discipline to study and a discipline to be ready. We have to be ready to speak and we have to have something to say. We have to be ready to be a witness. We have to know what we're going to say. We have to have something to say. But here's what I get most from this verse. Don't rely on your words, rely on the word. Don't rely on your power, rely on his power. Have something to say and be ready to speak. But don't rely on your words, rely on the word. See, when I rely on my words, I worry. When I start relying on my power, I have a reason to worry. So worry less and pray more. Our confidence should be found in the word, not ours. Your confidence should be found in his word and not yours. Have something to say, church. Remember, Peter and John were unschooled, ordinary men, the Bible says, who astonished the high priest and all the rulers, not through their eloquence, not through their poetic words, but with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. These were fishermen who had something to say. Remember, Peter prayed, God, give me the words to say. Enable us to speak your word with great boldness. See, the more we pray, the more we'll have to say. Come on. I said, the more you pray, the more you'll have to say. Man, I'm preaching. I'm throwing all kinds of points at you. You should be throwing all kinds of amens at me. Thank you. Peter prayed, God, give us the words to say. As believers, we need to pray every day for the words to say, and we need to pray for the opportunity to say it. And when God gives us that opportunity, we don't ignore it. We don't say, God, well, somebody else will tell them. Someone else will share their faith with them. Someone else will share their testimony. Someone else, God. I would, but I'm too busy. I would, but I don't have time. I would, but I don't know how. I want to share a real quick story. I was 17 years old, saved, believer, served the church probably more than the pastor served. There was a young man in my life named Darren. Darren wasn't a believer. Darren was best friends with my cousin Brian. And Darren didn't like me so much. I know what you're thinking. What's not to like, right? But Darren didn't like me, and because of that, I didn't like him. Me and my cousin were a year apart. We were really close. Spent a lot of time together, and there's many times that Darren was there. What made matters worse was Darren and Brian borrowed my two 10 speeds. And they left, and I never saw them again. Darren said someone stole them, or whatever. But that made me even more angry with Darren. I didn't want to be around him, but Darren didn't know Christ. Darren needed someone to share the gospel with him, but I didn't like Darren. I didn't want anything to do with Darren, but yet I was a believer and I served the church. The end of the summer, that summer, Darren was with the wrong crowd. They were playing a little game called Russian Roulette. That night, Darren pulled the trigger. He entered eternity. Darren didn't have a preacher in his life. Darren didn't have anyone to share their faith, that shared their faith with him. Darren was never able to say, yes to Jesus because no one shared Jesus with him. So we'll always have a but. I don't want to, but I have this against them. But I don't have time. So we need to lay our butts down this morning. That's a whole nother sermon. We need to pick up the gospel message. The final words that Jesus left for the church is our highest calling. No matter what you're called to do in this life, your highest calling is to share the gospel. To be a lifeline. To reach people who are lost and in sin. And I want to close with verse 33. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. With great power. Everyone stand up with great power. With great power, they continued to testify. With great power, they shared their testimony. See, this goes back to your testimony, church. And we all have a testimony. It's like the song, Chainbreaker. How many know that song? In that song, it says, somebody testify. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. Because he took away my pain. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. Because I was lost, but now I'm found. If you need freedom, if you need saving, he's a prison-shaking savior because we were all in prison. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If he broke your chains, say amen. If he broke your chains, make some noise. There's some people in the room today that still have chains. They need them broken. See, our trials create our testimony. Because we're not speaking about something we don't know. We're speaking about something we do know, and we know it very well. It's something we walk through. It's something we suffer through. It's something we live through. Your trial creates your testimony. How many of you have a testimony this morning? Father, God, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would fill this room. God, there's chains that need to be broke. There's pain that needs to be took. God, there's freedom that needs to be granted. There's saving that needs to take place. God, not just in this room, but beyond this room. God, through these people, this city will be turned upside down for you. God, lives will be forever impacted if we'll just obey the gospel. See, the gospel always requires a response. Yes, it says everyone who believes and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. We're saved by grace, not by works. But we work. Because we're saved. And we go because we're called. And we do because he's done so much for us. So it's just a matter of obedience. It's a matter of priorities. It's a matter of seeing people the way Jesus sees them. We never know what someone's going through. We never know why people have attitudes. We never know what they face. But we can be a light and shine no matter where we are, no matter who it is. so that they might come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This is between you and God, and you and me. You say, Pastor, I've got chains this morning that need to be broken. Chains of an addiction, chains of bondage. And there's some of you here, I want this to hit home for all of you that have been safe for so many years. I've got chains that are holding me back from going out. If that's you, I just want to see your hands. All over. You can put them down. Father, you see every hand. You see every act of humility. God, you see every person that raised their hand. God, I pray that in this moment that the Holy Spirit would break every chain. God, maybe it's a chain of doubt. Maybe it's a chain of they think that they can't because they've been told they can, or they're not good enough, or they don't have anything to say, which is a lie of the enemy. Every chain in your life is from the enemy. Right now, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would break those chains. Or maybe it's a chain of bondage. You have an addiction that you have to lay down. Father, give them the power of the Holy Spirit to break that chain and then never pick it up again. God, for those that didn't raise their hand this morning, God, that maybe you're in the same boat, I pray that the Holy Spirit would leave no one behind in this place. But break every chain. Remove every chain. Let us walk in the freedom and the power of the Holy Spirit day after day. Acts 1:8 says, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you'll receive power. Power to be his witness. And power to overcome. Power to be Christ-like. Holy Spirit, come in. Fill us with your power. In your mighty name.